Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today Masechas Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Hey, the sixth Perek HaMocher Peros. This daf is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Avi Umori Moshe Ben Bero. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that if the seller says, Mida Becheva Ani Mochelach, Hen Chaser Hen Yasser, I'm selling you this size land as measured by a rope, whether it's less or more, thereby using a contradiction of terms, Bato Hen Chaser Hen Yasser Mida Becheva. The phrase, whether less or more, nullifies the phrase, as measured by a rope, and the second term is followed, allowing insignificant discrepancies. In the reverse case, we would follow the phrase, as measured by a rope, requiring precise measurement. This Mishnah is Ben Nanas' opinion. Rav says the other Tanaim disagree with Ben Nanas and consider it a suffix about which term is primary and would divide the disputed amount. This refers to a Mishnah about a bathhouse, which was rented for 12 gold dinarim for a year, 1 gold dinar per month. The year was a leap year, and a question arose if the 13th month was included in the price of a year or must be paid separately at the monthly rate. Rav Shimon Gamliel and Riyosi ruled, Yachaloku es chodesh ibur. They divide the extra month. Rav explains that they consider it an uncertainty which phrase we should follow. Point number two, Shmuel also says Tanaim disagree with Ben Nanas, but he says they hold halach achar pachas shebeloshonos, follow the lesser of the two expressions, meaning whichever term gives the buyer less. They also consider a suffix, but hold that the muchzak is protected. Thus, where the seller was already paid, he gets the benefit of both phrases. If he gave too much land, we follow the mida bechevel phrase, and it must be returned. If he gave too little, we follow the hen chaser hen yasser phrase and allow the approximate measurement. The Gemara eventually proves that Shmuel himself rules like these Tanaim and not Ben Nanas, because he explained that the case of the 13th rental month, where the Tanaim ruled Yachaloku, was Beboba Emso Chodesh, where the landlord came in the middle of the 13th month to demand pay. Therefore, the first half, which already passed, is considered in the renter's possession, and the second half is considered in the landlord's possession. Had the landlord come in the beginning of the month, he would collect full pay, and had he come at the end, he would collect nothing. And point number three, Rav Huna quoted Rav saying that if his seller offered a price of istera ma'amai, an istera, 100 maos, the first term equaling 96 prutos, and contradicted by the second phrase of 100, ma'amai, the buyer pays 100 prutos. If he said the opposite, ma'amai, istera, then he only pays istera 96 prutos. Thus, Rav was like Ben Nanas that we follow the latter expression. The Gemara asks what Rav Huna is teaching, since Rav already informed us that he holds Tafus Lashon Achron, because he said, Ihavi Hasim, if I had been there by the incident of the 13th rental month, Hava Yahivne Kulula Maskar, I would have given it entirely to the landlord, following the latter expression of a dinner per month. It answers that Rav's ruling there could have been explained not based on following the latter of two contradictory expressions, but that Parushi Kamufarish, the landlord was merely clarifying his first expression with his second to account for a possible leap year and ensure he'd be paid for the additional month. Rav Huna taught that Rav follows the Lashon Achron even where it contradicts the first. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states that if the seller says, Mida Becheva Ani Mochelach, Hen Chaser Hen Yasser, I'm selling you this size land as measured by a rope, whether it is less or more, thereby using a contradiction of terms, Bato Hen Chaser Hen Yasser Mida Becheva. The phrase, whether less or more, nullifies the phrase, as measured by a rope, and the second term is followed, allowing insignificant discrepancies. In the reverse case, we would follow the phrase, as measured by a rope, requiring precise measurement. This Mishnah is Ben Nanas' opinion. Rav says the other Tanaim disagree with Ben Nanas and consider it a suffix about which term is primary and would divide the disputed amount. This refers to a Mishnah about a bathhouse, which was rented for 12 gold dinarim for a year, 1 gold dinar per month. The year was a leap year, and a question arose if the 13th month was included in the price of a year or must be paid separately at the monthly rate. Rav Shimon Gamliel and Riyosi ruled, Yachaloku es chodesh ibur. They divide the extra month. Rav explains that they consider it an uncertainty which phrase we should follow. Point number two, Shmuel also says Tanaim disagree with Ben Nanas, but he says they hold halach achar pachas shebeloshonos, follow the lesser of the two expressions, meaning whichever term gives the buyer less. They also consider a suffix, but hold that the muchzak is protected. Thus, where the seller was already paid, he gets the benefit of both phrases. If he gave too much land, we follow the mida bechevel phrase, and it must be returned. If he gave too little, we follow the hen chaser hen yasser phrase, and allow the approximate measurement. The Gemara eventually proves that Shmuel himself rules like these Tanaim, and not Ben Nanas, because he explained that the case of the 13th rental month, where the Tanaim ruled Yachaloku, was Beboba Emso Chodesh, where the landlord came in the middle of the 13th month to demand pay. Therefore, the first half, which already passed, is considered in the renter's possession, and the second half is considered in the landlord's possession. Had the landlord come in the beginning of the month, he would collect full pay, and had he come at the end, he would collect nothing. And point number three, Rav Huna quoted Rav saying that if his seller offered a price of istera ma'moi, an istera, 100 maos, the first term equaling 96 prutos, and contradicted by the second phrase of 100, ma'moi, the buyer pays 100 prutos. If he said the opposite, ma'moi, istere, then he only pays istere 96 prutos. Thus, Rav was like Benanas that we follow the latter expression. The Gemara asks what Rav Huna is teaching, since Rav already informed us that he holds Tafus Lashon Akron, because he said, Ihavi Hasim, if I had been there by the incident of the 13th rental month, Hava Yahivne Kulula Maskar, I would have given it entirely to the landlord, following the latter expression of a dinner per month. It answers that Rav's ruling there could have been explained not based on following the latter of two contradictory expressions, but that Parushi Kamufarish, the landlord was merely clarifying his first expression with his second to account for a possible leap year and ensure he'd be paid for the additional month. Rav Huna taught that Rav follows the Lashon Achron, even where it contradicts the first. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kufei, and our standard Siman is a Russian hacker. A hacker. So here goes. The hackers who were arguing over proper procedure when a line of code contradicts itself, some saying to go with the last word, and some saying, you split it, were corrected by their boss, who insisted that you either follow the lesser of the two versions, or you go after the last word, even where it can't be an explanation of the first. Once again, slow motion. The hackers. Hackers. That must be Siman Daf Kufei. Hacker. The hackers who were arguing over proper procedure when a line of code contradicts itself, some saying to go with the last word, and some saying, you split it, which reminds us, Rav holds that Tanaim disagree in a case where the seller said, Mida Becheva hen chasre hen yasser, which are contradictory statements, if Tafas Lashon Achron or Yachaloku. So the hackers who are arguing over proper procedure when a line of code contradicts itself, some saying to go with the last word and some saying, you split it, were corrected by their boss, who insisted you either follow the lesser of the two versions or you go after the last word, even where it can't be an explanation of the first. Which reminds us, Rav Huna quoted Rav saying that if a seller offered a price of an istra 100 maz, the first term equaling 96 prutos, and contradicted by the second phrase of 100, the buyer pays 100 prutos. If he said the opposite, then he only pays an istra 96 prutos. Thus, Rav rules like Ben Nanas that we follow the latter expression. So once again, the hackers who were arguing over proper procedure when a line of code contradicts itself, some saying to go with the last word, and some saying, you split it, were corrected by their boss, who insisted you either follow the lesser of the two versions or you go after the last word, even where it can't be an explanation of the first. All right, so now it's time for Forba Bach Hazara. Daf Kufalf. So the Siman Daf Kufalf is a bird caller going, caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller calling caw, caw, bird caller calling caw, caw. That must mean we're in Daf Kufalf. The bird caller calling caw, caw, who heard an echo coming from a burial cave, which was 4 amos by 6, and had kuchen on the sides, and the far wall, which reminds us, the next mission discusses the standard dimensions of a burial chamber, and the number of kuchen and ma'aros. So the bird caller calling caw, caw, who heard an echo coming from a burial cave, which was 4 amos by 6, and had kuchen on the sides, and the far wall, finally found the birds hiding in 2 additional kuchen, which were on the corners of the far wall, which reminds the Gemara discusses the location of Rabbi Shimon's kuchen to the right and left of the entrance. So the bird caller calling, caw, caw, who heard an echo coming from a burial cave, which was 4 amos by 6, and had kuchen on the sides and the far wall, finally found the birds hiding in 2 additional kuchen, which were on the corners of the far wall, which were dug a little lower than the kuchen next to them to keep the wall strong, which reminds the Gemara discusses being mamik the kuchen so they do not touch each other. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Siman Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The cave explorer. Cave? That must be more in Daf Kuf Beis. The cave explorer who didn't move the 3 bodies buried in the Shechunas Kvaros cave, which reminds us, a mission states that if one discovers 1 or 2 corpses buried normally, indicating Jewish burial, the bodies may be moved along with the surrounding earth. Because they're buried alone, they may have been buried there temporarily and may be moved. If he found 3 bodies, if there is space between them 4 to 8 amos, harzo shchunas kvaros, this is presumed as a burial ground, and the bodies may not be moved. So the cave explorer who didn't move the three bodies buried in the Shechunas Kvaros cave found four bodies densely packed together near an overplanted vineyard, which reminds us, in a brace that the Tanakhama says, Matsan Rasufim, if he found bodies buried close together with fewer than four amas between them, they can be moved and are not considered a Shechunas Kvaros. Rabbi Shimon holds, Roinas Emsaim Ki'ila Einan. We view the middle ones as if they're not there and the remaining bodies can combine to form a Shechunas Kvaros. The Gemara says both opinions seem to contradict themselves regarding a vineyard planted with less than four amas between the rows and explains the difference. So the cave explorer who didn't move the three bodies buried in the Shechunas Kvaros cave found four bodies densely packed together near an overplanted vineyard that he intended to move and bury next to the rocks 10 tefachim high that were not measured into his purchase of a base core of land, which reminds us, the seventh parak begins that if a seller says, base core afar nimochilach, I'm selling you a base core of earth, which is land large enough to plant a core of barley, which is 75,000 square amos, hayusham nekayim amukim asar tefachim, if there were ravines 10 tefachim deep in the field, or slime gvoin yud tefachim, or rocks 10 tefachim high there, they're not measured with it, and the seller must give additional land to complete the base core. Daf kuf gimel, so the simmer daf kuf gimel is kugel, so here goes. The Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's. Kugel's Yerushalmi, that must move on Daf Kuf Gimel. Yerushalmi Kugel. The Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's that were sitting in 10 fucking deep ravines in a field given to Hekdesh that were not counted as part of the field when being redeemed, which reminds us, the Mishnah teaches that a field of Hekdesh is redeemed for 50 silver shekelim for each zero chomer seorim area on which a chomer of barley may be planted. If there were ravines 10 fucking deep or stones 10 fucking high, they are not measured towards a zero chomer seorim, rather, they are independently Hekdesh and redeemed at value. If they're smaller, they are included. So the Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's that were sitting in 10 fucking deep ravines in a field given to Hekdesh that were not counted as part of the field when being redeemed, and from some rock hard Kugel's that were less than 10 fucking high, which were counted as long as they were less than 4 cub, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that rocks less than 10 fucking high are measured together with a sold field. Rabbi Yitzhak said, Trushim Sha'amru base Arbus Kabin. The rocks they spoke of must be a total area of 4 cubs or less. If the total area is greater than 4 kabin, they're not included in the field's measurement. Rabuk Bar Bachama said, Vushimuvloin Bachamish's kabin. These 4 kabin of rocks are only included when they're distributed within an area of at least 5 cubs. If they are closer together, they're excluded from the field's measurement. So the Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's that were sitting in 10 fucking deep ravines in a field given to Hekdesh that were not counted as part of the field when being redeemed, and from some rock hard Kugel's that were less than 10 fucking high, which were counted as long as they were less than 4 kav, to use as a rule to be sure the field he bought was exactly the size of a base core, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if the seller says, I'm selling you a base core of earth, mida bechevel, measured by a rope, meaning precisely, pichas koshu yinache, if the seller gave him even minimally less than a base core, he must deduct that amount from the price. Hosir koshu yachzer, if he gave even minimally more than a base core, the buyer must return the excess. Kuf dalet, so the simmer daf kuf dalet is code. So here goes. The dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code. Code? That must be on daf kuf dalet. The dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, which reminds us, a buyer is not forced to purchase the excess land at its initial higher price. So the dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second, and reached a 9-cub limit, which reminds us, if the 9-cubbing rule applies even for purchases of many coring. So the dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second and reached the 9-cub limit, and retained the property right next to the third, so he had to take the extra back, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that the buyer may return excess land if it borders the seller's own field. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which daf do we learn that Shmuel holds that the Tanaim argue with Benanis and follow the Muchsak that's on daf? Kufhe. Good. Number two. Which daf do we learn a buyer is not forced to purchase the excess land at its initial higher price? That's on daf? Kufdalad. Good. Number three. Which daf do we have a machlokes regarding which direction Shlomo's kruvim faced? That's on daf? Tzadi task. And number four, which daf did we learn that Rav says that if a seller offered a price of an istra, 100 maz, the first term equaling 96 prutos, the buyer pays 100 prutos. That's on daf. Kufhei. Good number five, which daf did you discuss the location of Rabbi Shimon's kuchin to the right and left of the entrance? That's on daf. Kufav. Good number six, which daf did you learn the difference between discovering densely buried bodies versus a densely planted vineyard? That's on daf. Kufbei. Good number seven, which daf did you learn a buyer may return excess land if it borders the seller's own field? That's on daf. Kufdal. Good number eight. Which of them when the Rav holds that the Tanaim disagree if Taf is Lashon Achron or Yachloku, when a seller says Mida Bechevach and Chaser and Yasser? That's on Daf. Kufhe. Good number nine. Which of them about the Mamed procedure by burial where the Avelim sit and stand seven times? That's on Daf. Kuf. Good. Number 10. Which Daf do we discuss the public acquiring a path through someone's field through Hiluch? That's on Daf. Kuf. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldner from Zichron Mishina. Great day and great learning.